Dramatic sounds there from the time of the Velvet Revolution in 1989 that brought to an end over 40 years of communist rule. It began on the 17th of November as a student demonstration was put down brutally by the police. There was huge public outrage. Protests and further demonstrations gained such rapid momentum that within days the regime was doomed, and by the end of the year Václav Havel was president. Any Czech over the age of 35 will have vivid memories of the time, but in the meantime a generation has grown up for whom these events are no more than history. So how, 17 years after the fall of communism, should the Czech Republic be dealing with the complex legacy of totalitarianism and making sure that future generations will not repeat the mistakes of the past? This is a subject that has remained every bit as controversial as it was in the days just after the fall of the regime, as I shall be exploring in this special program to mark the anniversary of the events of November 1989. We start here at the Připotoční Secondary School in a residential inner suburb of Prague. Many of the students here were born just around the time of the changes in November 1989, and I'm about to talk to a few of them.
My name is Jan. Date of birth is 21st October 1989, and I was alive when the revolution started for 17 days.
I'm Anna. I'm born after a revolution, so I don't remember nothing, and I don't know nothing, and it's nothing for me.
Is it just ancient history for you?
Yes.
Do you know very much about the events of the time? What happened then?
No.
Have you learnt about it in school?
We didn't learn about it yet.
I'm Bara. I was born on 6th December. Revolution is for me. It's for me nothing. I don't know about revolution because we don't learn in school.
My name is Anne, and I'm child of revolution because my birthday is 17 November and I was born at 17 November 1989.
My name is Teresa and I was born in 19 of October 1990, so I was born after revolution, but I know about revolutions something.
Is that because you've been actively interested in finding out more about it?
Yes, I'm interested about revolution because I think it isn't history, because Communist Party exists still.
I think that we should remember that what did they done to us. So I think Communist Party should have been forbidden.
You said that it seems just like ancient history. Do you never talk about the past?
We talk about it, and it gave us a feeling that Communist Party is bad. And it's interesting because we think now that it's something bad, but we don't know why.
In my family is very difficult problem because my granddad and father are communist, so we didn't talk about it.
It's a taboo subject.
Yes.
In my first school, we didn't learn about a revolution because it is a difficult problem for my teachers, and they wouldn't talk about.
Do you think that you should be learning more about the recent past in your school?
Yes, because it is important revolution in our history, and we must learn about, because this is a lesson of the past.
We're 17 years after the fall of communism now. Do you think it's right that people should still be taken to court and should be put in prison for things that they did under the old regime?
I think now, after 17 years, it's late. I think it had been done right after the fall of communism.
Do you think it should have been done? Do you think people should have been punished?
Yes. I think it is good that Communist Party ended here, but in the world, somewhere still remains.
And do you think it's important for people in the Czech Republic, which has its experience of communism, to try and help those other countries?
I think we have to give advice to that country. I don't think to exactly to make the same revolution as here, but I think we have to say them that it is good to live without communism.
Do you think it's an obligation of the Czech nation to keep this memory of what happened here alive and to pass it on to others?
I think maybe it's better forget time when the Communist Party was rolling, because maybe we can move on.
I've now walked a few hundred yards down the road from the school. I'm still in the same street, and I've arrived at a large, grey and really rather nondescript office building. This building houses what's known as the Office for the Documentation and Investigation of Communist Crimes, or UDV. It's a rather awkward name. The office comes under the umbrella of the Czech police and was set up 11 years ago. It has a dual function, as I'm going to find out from its deputy director, Jan Srb, who I've arranged to meet inside.
Úřad má jako dvě hlavní oddělení pracovní, je to už se samotného názvu.
Around half the people here are police officers. Their job is to investigate crimes committed at the time of the old regime and to bring charges against the perpetrators. The rest of the staff are involved in documenting the time. They are not members of the police force and most of them are historians. They document the communist period and publish the results of their research.
Jak z názvu vyplývá, mají za úkol dokumentovat, publikovat to období.
At the heart of the regime's apparatus for controlling its citizens was the infamous secret police, the STB. If you kept quiet, the regime would leave you alone. But should you open your mouth, the STB knew how to make life difficult for you and your family. The academic and journalist Jan Urban spent 12 years as a dissident and became very familiar with the STB's tactics.
The minute the regime and its secret police realized that you're a possible opponent, you got a close surveillance. And from that moment on, you could be sure that you are watched all the time. You would get frequent visits from Social Security checking how you care for your children. You would lose driving license, your phone would be tapped, and from time to time, depending on your activities, you wouldn't end in prison or in preliminary detention facility. At that moment, there would be no way back. Once you were labeled enemy, that's forever, and it would go for your children, it would go for entire family around you.
And there was a vast apparatus, wasn't there, keeping this system going? So many people who formally or less formally were collaborating with the secret police. It must have been a huge machinery.
You know, when I started my dissident career in 1977, I lived in southern Bohemian town of Prachatice, and an entire district of about 150,000 people, there were two known dissidents. We had 29 people only in a district secret police, and several hundred in the regional district overseeing them. So it was a job creation venture, I would say.
Today, Jan Urban is able to look back with humour. But we shouldn't forget that the secret police and other state organs also committed many atrocities against their country's own citizens, breaking even the laws of the time. Investigating the worst of these crimes has been a major part of the work of the Office for the Documentation and Investigation of Communist Crimes. Jan Srb again.
Bylo sděleno obvinění, to znamená zahájeno trestní stíhání řádově s 200.
Proceedings were begun against around 200 people. Over 100 of those cases went to court. In all, we've seen around 30 convictions. Sometimes the sentence has only been symbolic, a conditional discharge. But there also have been more serious cases. In most cases, they are former state security people, usually accused of abusing their powers, sometimes resulting in death. There are several soldiers who were serving on our western borders and shot and killed people trying to cross. There are also some top Communist Party officials, some of whom have been convicted in connection with the 1968 invasion.
Kteří byli na pozicích ministrů, ať je to třeba za rok 1968.
In this respect, the Czech Republic is unusual. Few other former communist countries have brought so many crimes committed at the time of the communist regime to justice. This is even though courts have often worked agonizingly slowly, something that some have linked to the fact that many judges and other court officials themselves have careers going back to the pre-1989 days, and maybe have little interest in seeing cases investigated. But as time goes by, the focus is inevitably shifting away from punishing the perpetrators towards finding a way of mapping the labyrinthine world of real socialism for future generations. Jan Srb from the Communist Crimes Office continues.
Zásadní a nejviditelnější produkt jejich práce jsou publikace, které vydáváme. V dnešní době už jsou to...
These days, this is the main focus, and this will be more and more the case in the future. We've brought out some 40 publications mapping the different aspects of the time. As part of the whole mosaic, this is only a tiny fragment, so there is much to be done. We also organize a growing number of lectures, which we offer to schools and other organizations free of charge.
Jakýmkoliv vlastně zdarma naši historici jsou schopni kdekoliv na území České republiky odpřednášet.
But in recent years, the Communist Crimes Office has come under growing criticism. Jan Urban argues it has a fatal flaw. Is it really right for an institution that bears so much responsibility for the conscience of the nation to be under the control of the police presidium?
If the nation allows the police to play the role of the conscience, then something is terribly wrong. I'm not saying the people working there didn't try hard. They did. But I think the whole concept was flawed from the very beginning. And unless we find the way how to get rid of the state owning and controlling the secret police files and communist regime files, then we will never be able to find out what happened and how to deal with it.
Currently, the files of the various organs of the communist machine are scattered in different archives around the country, including the Interior Ministry, the Domestic Intelligence Service and the Military Intelligence Service. Even the historians and investigators at the Communist Crimes Office have to work through those who administer these archives. And it seems ironic that 17 years after the fall of communism, many former secret police files are still under the administration of the intelligence services themselves. This means that although the archive law of 2004 enables almost unrestricted access to files, they are often hidden away and virtually impossible to find. But a few days ago, a bill was passed in its first reading in the lower house of parliament that will radically change the situation if it becomes law. It has been put forward by a group of senators, mostly from the right-of-centre Civic Democratic Party, and following the example of Poland and Slovakia, counts on the establishment of a completely new institution, an Institute of National Remembrance, that will be independent of any existing state organ. Not only will it concentrate work on mapping the old regime, but also bring together communist-era secret files under one roof. When we met in a busy Prague cafe, the young historian Petr Blažek told me of his enthusiasm.
Já se domnívám, že ten zákon, pokud by vznikl, tak by znamenal naprostou revoluci.
If the law is passed and the institute comes into being, it will be a revolution. Everything will be in one place. The archives will be worked up systematically using modern technologies. The institute will have its own budget under the law, and it will also have greater independence than currently enjoyed by the Communist Crimes Office. It will be a properly functioning partner organization for equivalent institutions abroad. At last, the documents will nearly all be taken out of the hands of the intelligence services. Even if this is all we can manage to achieve, it will improve the situation immensely.
Tak si myslím, že ta situace se výrazně zlepší.
Petr Blažek argues that the Communist Crimes Office has been deliberately dragging its feet, especially since the left came to power in 1998. But this has been vehemently denied by the office itself and some of the historians working with it. It will be ironic, Jan Srb says, if it is the right-wing civic democrats, who have long accused the left of trying to sabotage the office's work, who end up being the ones who make the decision to dissolve it.
Ať se to teda posílí, ať se to finančně i třeba personálně, ať už náš ústav, úřad nebo ústav...
The answer would be for us to be reinforced and to bring in more people. But this isn't a reason to set up a new institution, which would cost hundreds of millions of crowns. And the argument that it would be apolitical is utter nonsense. How can that be the case when its board of supervisors will be nominated by the president and the two houses of parliament? What could be more political? On the other hand, the police have a legal obligation to be apolitical, so we are not political.
Nesmí být členem žádné politické strany, takže ta policie by měla být apolitická.
Jan Urban agrees that there is a danger of a new institute getting bogged down in petty party squabbles, especially given the current tense and antagonistic political climate in the country. But he feels the attempt has to be made.
If we cannot deal with our politicians, we cannot deal with anything. And if this obstacle is not removed, we will simply again have the state controlling the memory of the nation, and that's always wrong.
While historians and politicians argue, the key question remains unanswered. What can be done to engage the interests of young people, like the Prague teenagers we heard at the beginning of the program? In this respect, one of the most successful initiatives so far has come from outside the state sector. The Stories of Injustice project, initiated by the NGO People in Need, is focused on schools and aims to tell the real stories of those who suffered under the regime, using documentary films as a starting point. People in Need's director is Simon Barnek.
It's a project for the primary, secondary and the high schools in the Czech Republic, which could voluntarily join the experiment in which the documentary film is used as a kickoff for the discussions with the kids and teenagers about the recent past. It means about the mainly past between the Second World War and the 89. So far, 530 schools voluntarily subscribe to take part in this project. So there is an interest among the young people. But one should basically offer them some more interesting or interactive or modern way how to think, how to talk, how to discuss about the recent history. If it is presented as some very boring facts and dates, then the young people probably are not more interested than in the things which happened 200 years ago. If you offered it to them through the documentary films as a start for the discussions about that, because most of their parents were somehow included in a communist Czechoslovakia anyway, then you could find that a lot of young people are really interested and that they would like to know more, but one should find the ways how to communicate.
Dokumentární filmy o československých dějinách. Filmy i do vaší školy.
Jan Urban has witnessed the impact of the project Stories of Injustice.
I've seen some of the meetings and classes, and it was always fascinating for me to see reactions of high school students repeating every time, you know, that's the first time we really understand how it was and how stupid the regime was, because it's the first time they had the opportunity to hear the language of the communist time, to see the fear, to see the crimes, to see witness reports of that. And I think that this is the best we can give our young generation and allow them to make their minds up about that.
As someone who himself suffered directly under the old regime, Jan Urban has another idea for a way of looking at the problem of the recent past from a fresh angle. Instead of focusing on crime and punishment, he would like to see a truth commission for reconciliation.
The truth commission is a concept that was brought to existence in late 80s, early 90s in Latin America, Argentina, Chile, Salvador, then tried again in South Africa. The deal is very clear. It's the truth for amnesty. It allows the victims to raise their voice and to tell their side of the story, but it allows also the perpetrators. The poetry or the main advantage of the concept is that it allows society to look for the consensus about what happened.
So you're saying it's not so much about the perpetrators, about punishing the perpetrators and this focus on who committed the crimes, but it's more a question of, I suppose, re-empowering those who were the victims of the regime.
Absolutely. It shows that reconciliation is much more important than punishment, and acknowledgement of what happened is much more important for the victims than punishment of the perpetrators 20 years later.
It's highly unlikely that any such commission will ever be established. None of the 28 former communist countries of Central and Eastern Europe have embraced the idea, and it doesn't seem likely that the Czech Republic, 17 years after the fall of communism, will be the exception. In the meantime, the politicians will continue to squabble, the broader public will remain sceptical, and it will probably be many years before the mere mention of the old regime stops arousing passionate and widely differing emotions.
The consensus will come 2-3 generations from now, when no survivors will be left, and the whole event will be just a chapter in a history textbook for primary school kids.
Kam sahají slova lidem v emigraci, slova o domově, smysl se jim ztrácí. Zůstat jít či vzdát